It's time now for Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. You can call the show now at 503-397-1600 or toll free at 877-397-1632. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KOHI, staff, management, or sponsors. Now, here's Melinda.
Welcome to Setting Record Straight. Happy Friday, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us. Carol and I have a really topical show for you this morning, and that is fraud. Fraud in banking and a lot of scamming that has been happening, not just here in Columbia County, but across Oregon and across the United States. And our guests this morning are from Inroads Credit Union. We have Kimberly Preston. Kim is the Director of Member Experience for the credit union, and we have Tracy Oliver, and Tracy is the Risk and Compliance Manager. So for us this morning, we are going to start off, Tracy, why don't we start with you and talk about what we're facing right now in terms of fraud and scamming.
Yeah, thanks for having us this morning, Melinda. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to get the word out there, obviously, about fraud and what kind of common fraud we're seeing at the credit union. Fraudsters don't sleep. I tell you, they are at this all hours of the day and night. And you think that's something that we have to remember, and oftentimes I think we forget is that this is their full-time job. So like the rest of us who go to work every day, fraudsters fraud people. That's their job. That's what they do. And they're really good at it. And I would say that as far as common scams out there, the ones that the credit union sees, we probably see the most of technology scams and romance scams. Obviously, there's a lot more than just those two, but I think that those two are definitely the ones that hit us probably at the most vulnerable, if you will.
Okay, let's go back to that romance scam, because it just reminded me there's a billboard. I don't know if you've seen it. It's not in Columbia County, but it's on Highway 30, right? If you're coming from Portland into town, there's a billboard that talks about romance scams right before the St. John's Bridge. And I thought, what? So, okay, what is a romance scam?
Right. Great question. So
is this like
a romance scam? And I haven't seen the billboard. So I'm going to have to drive to Portland now just so I can see this billboard. But romance scams hit the vulnerable, the lonely, the ones that, you know, maybe are sitting at home and oftentimes, as much as I hate to say it, it hits the elderly. Whether they're widowed or divorced or whatever, they're lonely and they're looking for someone to talk to. And so oftentimes they are approached on social media. And I know that seems strange because technology and the elderly and like, but they all learned how to use Facebook. It's how we kind of, you know, stayed connected, and it happens to be one of the easiest spots to pretend to be someone else. So between Facebook and dating apps, actually dating apps have been looped in there now, but they gain your trust, they talk to you, and they don't just scam you from the beginning. They create a relationship. And so typically in a romance scam, it starts out with just a conversation. Could be just text messaging or, you know, private messaging via the social media platform. And they typically get you to either download a different app sometimes. WhatsApp is a pretty common one. There's a few different ones that they kind of get you to get off of whatever platform you've met them on. But they gain your trust and your confidence, and they say all the right things. And after they've got that trust and confidence built, then they typically come at you with some story. And that story can be any number of things. It could be that they are in the military and they are overseas and they need to get home. And even though that might seem pretty common sense to some of us that our country is not going to leave our military stranded somewhere overseas, people believe them. And so they really think that they're trying to get home. And so they'll send money. They'll request money, and the victims will send money. Other ways that they will request money is maybe they are a widow and they have a big inheritance or money coming from a deceased spouse, and they need to send them money or send them a check to deposit because they need to get it back. And so there's different angles that they will shoot for, but it's always after they've gained your trust and your confidence and you really believe that this person loves you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I mean, those are really, I mean, I guess they're, you know, con men, so, or con women, really well thought out. So what is the purpose of changing? So let's say they met you on Instagram or Facebook. What's the point of moving you to another app? Is it because WhatsApp can be deleted?
You know, it's just, I think it's a more, open platform and they have ability, I think it's not as regulated. It's just an easier way to get you away from, you know, other people seeing and things like that. Not to say that WhatsApp doesn't have its purpose, because I know that there are legitimate people who use it and it does have a purpose. But it's just another avenue for them to seclude you to them.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. And Kim, did you have something you wanted to add into those? Into Tracy's explanation there?
Yeah, you know, I think Tracy really covered this really well. It's really that factor of building the trust, building the relationship. And once we trust somebody, I think we are more apt to do things that we necessarily wouldn't. So those scams are super popular, very common, and they really pull at the heartstrings of our members and honestly our credit union staff when we're assisting members on trying to recover or mitigate their loss.
Okay. And so, let's talk about this. So you've met somebody and you might think he's the man of your dreams or she's the woman of your dreams, and you've given them money under some pretext, and then you're ghosted. So what happens then? So the person figures out that they've been scammed and they come to the credit union. So then what happens with that process?
Obviously, there are many ways that the scammers can request money. And so here's the thing to keep in mind. Scammers will either ask you typically to pull out cash, and we all go, cash, how are they going to get it? So there's a couple ways. With the technology being the forefront of all of our world these days, right, we have digital currency. And a lot of times the scammers will ask them to pull out cash and go deposit that cash into crypto ATM machines. Some of us may not even know that those exist, but they do. And we have them. We do not have one here in Columbia County, but we did have I found out that there are a couple in St. John's. So that's just a quick 20 minutes away. But yes, they will ask you to withdraw cash, and usually they will request you to do a couple of things. Either one, they'll have you drive to a crypto ATM machine and deposit the funds that way, which you have now lost your money. Your money cannot be recovered. They may ask you to go to a Walmart, a Fred Meyer, any location that sells gift cards and buy gift cards, and then have read the codes off those gift cards to the fraudsters. Again, if you do this, your money's gone. There's no way to get it back. I have actually had victims mail cash. Crazy as it sounds, it does happen. So they will ask you to withdraw cash and then mail it. Again, once you pull that money out of your account, it's gone. So in most cases, by the time we talk to the member, they have fallen victim, they have withdrawn money in some way or another, and they're at a loss. And it is, I will tell you, some of the hardest conversations that I've had to have in my role. I'm the one who typically talks to those individuals at some point or another to try and get details, to try to figure out if we can identify who the scammer or the fraudster was, to pass on to law enforcement to try to minimize future losses for other people. But in most cases, sad as it is, once you've given the fraudsters your money, there's no getting back.
I was on mute, sorry. That is such a sad story. And let me guess, the victims often have never met the con artist in real life. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. Yeah, and it's heart-wrenching because, you know, just from a human-to-human standpoint, fraud has, you don't have to be intelligent to get away from fraud. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to financial professionals. And so when a member comes in and they're like, you know, this is my girlfriend, I've been talking to her for a year, especially if this is somebody who's lonely or they're widowed or they're really believing that's a genuine companionship, and we instantly know by the facts, because we see it, because we train and we study and we do all of the things to try to protect our members, and then having to say, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Member, unfortunately, this is a scam and that individual is not real, it is heart-wrenching. Not only did you lose the relationship, but at times they've lost significant amounts of money in addition to.
So are you finding that, so that sounds like a long con, a year. That's a long time. Is that a common situation where they're just, so they're, are they milking money over time and each time it gets more and more and more?
I think it could be various things, and Tracy can speak to this very intelligently because she has that data at her fingertips, but they build that trust. Sometimes it's months. Sometimes it can be upwards of a year or longer where all they're doing is just building that trust in the relationship of texting them on social media, how's your morning? I hope your day is going good. Just building a relationship, an online relationship. And unfortunately with technology, you know, it's different on technology. Back in the day, you'd meet somebody, you'd meet face to face, you'd go on a date, you'd have this connection, you know, this person is real. But technology has actually kind of taken away a little bit of the necessity of that. And so they think they've met this person online. And these people, these scammers are typically running multiple people at one time, building relationships and just waiting for the trust to be built enough that they can get the money. Sometimes they go all in, like, hey, I need $10,000 because of X. Or sometimes they are milking small amounts of money over a period of time, and we've seen both of those things happen.
Okay, thank you, Kim. Tracy, what do you think is the most common situation?
Well, I think that what we have to remember is that these fraudsters aim at a person's emotions. And whether that emotion is romantic, urgent, or otherwise, they're attempting to use that emotion so that we don't use our common sense, so that we don't trust our instincts, right? And that's their goal, is to break that, because we're all built, you know, with common sense and that gut feeling, right? And You hear it said lots of times, trust your gut. If it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't look right, if it doesn't seem right, it's probably not right. But because they put the time and effort in the beginning to build your trust, right, they're working at your emotions. And absolutely, oftentimes, they won't even ask for money right away. And so once they do, it's like, oh, well, my girlfriend needs this, or I need to get my girlfriend home or my boyfriend home. I will say, unfortunately, men fall victim to this more than women do. That is actually a statistic. I don't have the percentages in front of me, but I've attended enough seminars and trainings with law enforcement to know that, yes, men do fall victim more than women do. And it can be short. Sometimes they catch on quickly, but other times, especially when it's usually with the romance scams, it can go on for long periods of time. And sadly, what can happen, and the other side of this that I don't think is as well known, is that a victim can end up financially responsible depending on how far the situation goes. I watched a video recently. It was an 83-year-old woman. She had fallen for a romance scam and had been giving money to the perpetrator I don't know all of the details of the case because obviously I don't necessarily get those. But she ignored her financial institution. She ignored her family. She ignored all of the people that were telling her, hey, I think you're being scammed. I think that this is not what you think it is. And ultimately, she actually got some jail time, because she was, an unwitting participant, in a fraudulent activity. And so that's the other side of this is that.
They put an 83-year-old woman in jail? Was this in Oregon?
Yes. I don't know that it was in Oregon, no. But she, you know, and it wasn't a long period of time. I don't remember what the actual sentence was, but she is now speaking. In fact, if you go to the FBI's website, I think that her video is there.
Oh.
But FBI.gov, I'm pretty sure that's where I saw that one. But she did spend some time because she ended up being a participant in a fraudulent activity. And ignored, you know, those who were telling her, you know, I don't think this is right. I don't think this is right. And we tend to get wrapped up in our emotions sometimes and believe that, oh, you're just being skeptical. You're just being overly cautious. You're just being, you know, whatever it is that they think because they believe the person who loves them.
Sure. Oh my gosh. Carol, mm-hmm. You had a question or comment?
It's blowing my mind. I thought all these people love me on Facebook, but they don't, apparently.
Oh, God. Be very cautious.
I wanted to ask, as a two-pronged question. One, how often does this happen in Columbia County? Do you have any statistics on that, or is it every day? Is it, you know?
So I don't have any actual, like, statistics per se, and obviously I don't. I participate in a lot of combination banks, credit unions, and law enforcement organization and groups. So I can tell you, not necessarily in Columbia County, but it happens every day. At Inroads, we see it weekly.
Wow.
Fraud is increasing. The numbers are crazy as far as how much fraud is increasing, and there's so many avenues of fraud. So if you're talking just romance scams, I'm not seeing those every day. I'm not necessarily seeing those weekly. But one thing I will say is that once you've been targeted, you become a bigger target. And so those individuals who have been scammed in some way or another tend to be repeat victims in some way or another.
Wow. That's mind-boggling. I get it. I'm widowed as of a couple of years, and I get daily people who love everything I say, and they're usually in the military. And they just want to be my friend. That's all. They don't want anything else. But the other thing is, and you kind of referred to it, what kind of training do you guys get to try to cut this off before it hits the point where the person loses everything? You must have some. What is it enough? Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah, you know, here at the credit union specifically, I can't speak for every organization in Columbia County, but we have a large focus on trying to equip our staff with the appropriate resources and knowledge to at least have the conversation with a member. So if you've mm-hmm. ever came to the credit union to send some money and we're asking you questions, you know, what are you spending the money on? Do you have plans for this? We're not trying to be nosy. We really don't care what you're spending your money on if it's a legitimate purpose. We just really want to make sure we have that conversation with you. And we're trained to pick up on those flags. Oh, I'm sending this to my girlfriend or my boyfriend. Well, have you ever met this person? Where did you meet this person? Again, we don't want to invade your privacy, but we can kind of pick up on some of those things. And the training really starts with Tracy. She's such a great advocate at our organization to really get engaged with what is new, what is relevant, what is happening right now, bringing that into our institution and getting in front of our leaders and saying, here's what we're seeing. This is what we need to talk to our staff about. Here's a common scam that we've seen before, but here's a new spin and a new caveat that they're trying that we want to be equipped with. So again, when we're having those conversations with our members, we can hopefully pick up and say, let's have a conversation. Let's make sure that we're protecting you and your money.
That's good. I exactly what I would want to think is happening. And I do feel in a credit union, at least I've been to several because of political accounts I had to open. You feel your family. People are talking to each other. It's not like they don't know who you are and saying, why are you sending this money?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I go back to a point, Tracy, that you made, or maybe it was Kim? Why, if you're a victim the first time, are you saying that you'll be retargeted by the same fraudster, or did they like put you on a sucker database and they're like, ooh, she gave money or he gave money, so we're gonna combat you at a different angle? Everyone's nodding
yeah.
their head.
Yes, absolutely. That does happen. And I have seen it because I'm the one who tracks and works with the members when they've become, you know, victims of fraud. Absolutely, I've seen victims retargeted. And I hear it in the organizations that I, you know, belong to and meetings that I attend. And so we all hear about the dark web. We all hear, you know, those kind of things. Those of us who are not criminals don't go to the dark web. But it is a real thing, and information is shared, stored, sold. There is also a website, much like Instagram, but it's called Telegram. And it is the combo of like Facebook and Instagram for criminals. And Telegram, I think there might be a small percentage of it that's not criminalized, but I feel like the majority of it is the scammers and the criminals out there who are selling information, who are selling people. And that sounds strange, but people have to execute these things. So yeah, people do definitely get retargeted, and I think their name gets shared out there on the dark web. And it may not be the same channel. It could be a different channel, but I have definitely had victims re-victimized multiple times over the years.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so clearly you are being trapped. Well, that is not good news. So there are a ton of scams out there, and we're going to be going to break real quick, but there was one that I was told about as a parent, that when my child enrolled in college, the college reached out and said, please let your parents know, so if the student's grandparent is still alive, that if they call from college and they've been thrown in jail or they're in the hospital, that's don't send them money. And so we did. We reached out to all the grandparents and explained exactly what the scam was. And thankfully, they were never contacted, but there were some parents at this college who had been, and it was a real common thing. The scam is that they're in the hospital and then they can't talk, or they're in jail and they can't talk, and this is a friend, and they can't send money. So they call at 2:00 in the morning, so the person is frantic, thinking that the child needs surgery, and they don't think, well, why didn't they call the parent, right? So a lot of it is, it's a lot of pressure. It has to happen right now. So anyway, that's one of the scams that's out there. But when we come back, Tracy and Kim are going to tell us about the most recent one and why if you get a call from En-ROADS, it might not really be En-ROADS. So stay with us. This is Setting the Record Straight. Carol and I will be right back.
Can you believe it? It's the 21st annual Scampoos Farmers Market. And if you want to be a vendor, then it's time to sign up right now before spaces are all taken. Columbia County, made or grown, farm to market, or arts and crafts, just $17 a Saturday for a 10x10 space. So get your tables and canopy ready and call Bill Blank right now, 503-730-7429. That's 503-730-7429, and join us for the legendary Scampoos Farmers Market at 2nd and Columbia in beautiful downtown Scampoos. 503-730-7429 or check the web at scampoosfarmersmarket.com.
This is Realizing Art, your local tattoo and body art studio, serving Lower Columbia County since 2019. We have a variety of tattoo and art services in a warm, clean, and welcoming environment. Stop by downtown St. Helens and visit Realizing Art. You can give us a call at 503-396-5018. or you can find us on Facebook and Google. Again, that's Realizing Art in downtown St. Helens, Oregon.
If your pet's been good or driving you nuts, it's best to treat them to Wiggle Butts. That's right, naughty or nice, your best friend deserves Wiggle Butts fresh baked goods. Baked locally right here in St. Helens, Wiggle Butts has everything your pet could want. Toys, treats, and so much more. Located at 1945 Columbia Boulevard. So if your pet's been good or driving you nuts, best to treat them to Wiggle Butts.
And remember, Wiggle Butts is pet friendly.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
Why don't you just and we're back. Carol and I are chatting this morning about scammers and fraud, and what you can do to protect yourself. And our guest this morning, Tracy Oliver. She is the Risk and Compliance Manager with Inroads Credit Union. And Kim Preston. Kim is the Director of Member Experience. And we want to thank you ladies again for joining us this morning. And before break, we were talking about some of the more emotional scams. So let's talk about what's been happening in Columbia County. There's recently been a scam that involves your credit union. Who wants to take this one? Tracy or Kim?
I can start off.
Yeah,
and that's then happy to you, Kim. So yeah, unfortunately, scammers don't just target individuals; they also target institutions. And us, as well as several other institutions in the Portland metro area, got a big rash. As many of you know, if you are members and saw our fraud alerts that went out via email and our social media websites, but scammers impersonate credit union employees, and so they call said members, and it could be, our credit union or any other credit union or financial institution, but they call the member. They say they're from the fraud department, and they want to verify charges or tell them that they've had fraudulent charges, and they're trying to get those disputed for them, and they're going to send them a text message, and once they get the text message, they need to respond yes. Yes is typically the backwards of what we think. So the scammers say respond yes because yes, it's fraud. However, the way that text message actually reads, if you had read it when you received it, is did you do this charge, right? Is this a valid charge? And by responding yes, that means that you're allowing that transaction to go through. In most of these cases, the scammers are using social media. They're using social engineering to get critical information from you. So that phone call they go for the build your trust and your emotions, and there's fraud on your account. And they gain your trust because they have some of your information. And we forget that, these social media outlets, we've got all of our information out there. You may have your date of birth on your social media website, so very easy to obtain your first, your last name, your address, your date of birth. The last four of your social is super easy to get, and sometimes you can get the whole thing. What we don't realize is our personal information is out there, and the scammers know how to get it. And once they've got it, they can, so they've spoofed our phone number, they've called you, they say they're from the Inroads Fraud Department, and they have enough information for you to believe that you're actually talking to the credit union. And in that situation, you feel comfortable that you're speaking with someone at the credit union, and you want to make sure that this fraud doesn't happen on your account, so you give them anything that they ask for. And these fraudsters are then able to take your debit card information and go to town with spending your money.
So they're asking your debit card number? Is that part of the scam?
It is part of the scam. They have what's called a BIN. That's the first part of your debit card. And they have that information. And then they get you to verify the remainder of your card number, your CVV number, which is the three-digit code, and then the expiration date. And once you've given them all of that, they now have enough information to use your card. Once you've responded to the text message that allows the transaction that they're performing to go through, and then they can continue to use your card as they wish. The best tip that I can say in this situation is the credit union is not going to reach out to you and ask you for your personal information. Do we have to verify you when you call us and make sure that we're talking to you? And Kim oversees the contact center so she can speak to this directly. But yes, we need to know you are who you say you are. But when we reach out to you, that information is going to be much different because we are reaching out to you. And so we're not going to ask you for those super important pieces of information. So if you do get a phone call and you have any doubt in your mind that it is us, we are not going to be offended if you hang up on us and call us back because we know. A fraudster, on the other hand, is going to get very annoyed. But hang up. The tip I would give is hang up and call us directly, even if your phone says it's inroads, because they are able to spoof our phone number, and even some of our executives and staff members received that fraud call.
Oh, my goodness. So how many people, Kim, do you know how many people were victim of that?
You know, I don't know the exact number, Tracy May, but Friday was a crazy day. I think we had upwards of almost 24 members calling saying, I think I made a boo-boo and I need to talk to you guys about it. Because then they, of course, would give the information and see the big charge on their account and then say, wait a minute, what happened? And it happened to people that I know very dearly. So I think Tracy gave the perfect piece of information. These guys are smart, and they're building that trust. And our BIN, you know, what our debit card starts with is public information with Visa. So, like, the fraudsters can get it. It's not a secret. It's the same for all of our members. But the last part of your debit card is what's unique and should not be given out. And we are never going to ask you for that information. We already have it. We might ask you what the last four are, what are the last four of your card while we're working with you, but we're not going to ask you for the three-digit code and the, you know, the expiration date and things like that. We just will not do that.
Okay. So in this situation, then, is there any way for the victims to get their money recovered in this particular fraud or the scam?
So this particular fraud has a much more positive outcome than what we were speaking on before the break, where the member takes out cash and they don't get their cash back, right? In this scam, because the fraudsters were impersonating the credit union and those charges are considered unauthorized charges and our members did not benefit from those transactions, they were able to dispute those transactions, and I can happily say at this point that all members that were affected have had their money recovered and have had it deposited back into their accounts. So that is huge because we don't often get to say that. So in this case, yes, we were able to refund all of those members their money back.
Wow, that is crazy. So did this take you by surprise? This particular scam?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it does. It does take us by surprise. It starts with one member calling and saying, I got this, and this is kind of weird, and then you get a next one, and then everybody goes on high alert. Because, like, one could be a potential anomaly. Two is weird, especially if they're very similar. So we have to be very nimble and quick and say, okay, we've got something going on. What are the similarities? You know, we were able to block that merchant at the card level so they couldn't continue to charge our members. Even if they called a member, if they tried to charge, they were blacklisted. They couldn't do it. So it's important to be nimble and quick, but we're very happy to say that we were able to save our members their money.
Oh, my goodness. So what's your best guidance for members, just in general?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's a whole variety of scams we haven't even talked about, but in this instance, regarding the credit union.
Yeah. So here,
hang up and call back.
Here's my best piece of advice, and I think this goes for every kind of fraud. Neuroscience tells us your gut acts like your second brain. So if something feels a little bit off, like, oh, the credit union's asking me for like all of my card information, or maybe I don't know this person, or should I really send this person this money? Anytime something feels a little off, I think people tend to try to suppress that. And maybe they feel embarrassed or intimidated about their financial knowledge or experience. do not suppress those feelings. They are telling you something. That is a real thing. All of us have had that feeling that something's not quite right or I need to get out of the situation. And it's human nature and it's human instinct, and you need to listen to that. So my best piece of advice is lean into it, hang up, call the credit union at the number you know, not something that somebody's given you. Go get it off of our website or call it if you have it in your phone and say, hey, En-ROADS, somebody's asking me for this information, and I want to make sure that this is legitimate, because we will be able to instantly tell you whether we are calling, whether you have pending fraudulent charges, whether you should send this money to this person you met online. Again, we are trained to keep your best interest in mind. Contact the credit union, contact somebody you trust, run it by somebody else. Don't act on emotion or don't act with urgency.
Okay, thank you. That's great advice. So do you think that these scammers are more adept because people don't come into the branch as much as they used to, that we do so much online banking?
You know, I think it's made fraud easier for sure. I mean, if we look at old school fraud, it was like people were robbing mailboxes and taking checks and like washing them and writing, you know, that's kind of dead. And now this technology has evolved. Again, technology is such a blessing in so many ways. But it does make it easier for these people to get your information, to impersonate people you trust, family members, your credit union, your bank, whatever you choose. It does make it a little bit easier for them. And as we talked about, I don't think that you have to be smart to be a victim of fraud or, you know, have a lack of knowledge or anything like that. All of us can be victims of it. I think what we have to do as consumers is just try to educate ourselves on what to lean into as far as our gut feeling, what to ask additional questions about, because they're only going to get smarter. And we're never going to be smarter than they are, because it's their full-time job. We're trying our best to keep up and combat them.
Sure. Thank you. So what are some of the other scams that you've seen around besides this one we've just discussed?
Yeah, so I think the impersonation scam goes further than just impersonating your financial institution, keeping in mind that impersonation can be law enforcement. It can be family members, right? They can impersonate your, you know, grandparents and children. There are definitely the impersonation scams go much further than just your financial institution. So I think, you know, Kim really made that point solid, and it simplified is trust but verify. So if you get a phone call that you have a child in danger, in a car accident, in jail, child, grandchild, whatever, call that individual. See if you can get a hold of them. Hang up the phone. One of the things that fraudsters don't like is they like to be in control. And so we've seen it happen numerous times in our branches where the fraudsters are still on the phone with the individual while they're in our branches. And they've instructed them to tell us incorrect information or to lie to us or not give us the information. They're going to ask you what the purpose is. Tell them that you're investing in whatever it may be. Tell them that you're going on vacation. Don't tell them what you're doing. I think really it goes back to, you know, the basics. If someone is telling you, you know, we teach our children, you know, when they're young, right, to tell us things, and we need to remember that is if someone is telling us to not tell someone, it's probably not a good thing.
Good tip.
You had a couple you wanted to share as well.
Yeah, you know, some things that we see in branches, we see members that will bring in a check, and maybe they receive that check in the mail, and it says, hey, you've been selected to do a mystery shop. So here's a check. Go deposit it at your institution. Go to your local Walmart, buy these things, and then keep the rest as your commission. And then they get called and say, oh, we overdid your check. Can you send a little bit back? And then the check is fraud all along. So if you're receiving a check in the mail that you're not anticipating, it's likely fraud. We see some lottery scams where people will potentially receive a letter in the mail saying you've won a foreign lottery and you have to pay the taxes. So wire the money for the taxes, and then we'll send you your lottery winnings. So really important to know that you don't pay taxes. You pay that to the IRS, right? So that's a little weird. You don't win a lottery that you didn't enter. So if it's too good to be true, it probably is. We've also seen some things recently, two more that really stick out to me. We had a member that thought he was buying a piece of equipment for his local farm from somewhere overseas. It was a great deal, and so he thought that that's what he was purchasing, and he had to pay these shipping charges. That is a fraudulent scam. They're just trying to get you to wire the money. There's no equipment. And then a family member of mine who is, she's so versed, and I would be like the last person I would think would fall victim to a scam, but she did, applied for forgiveness on her student loan, and she got a call from what she thought was the organization saying, hey, we've declined your forgiveness, so we need you to make a payment. And she was like, well, send me an email. And they did, and it looked to be from a very legitimate address. So when she called back and said, hey, I don't understand why my forgiveness was declined, they like transferred her to another department who said, well, here are the reasons, and what we need you to do is you can actually appeal the student loan forgiveness, but you need to make a payment in the meantime to keep your student loan current. She made the payment, and it was nothing to do with her student loan. So just, they are so intense and creative with how they're going to scam people out of their money. We see everything under the sun.
Wow. I've never heard of the student loan one. Thank you. That's really helpful. And people, of course, are so worked up about student loan and whether, you know, there's a lot going on in the national conversation about student loans. So I know there's a lot of anxiety around that. So what about like Craigslist or marketplace scams? Do you run across that where somebody pretends like they're selling something? Like, well, that's probably similar to what the farm equipment scam was, right?
Yeah, we absolutely do see that. And ironically enough, they want a form of digital payment. Hey, can you send me this digital payment and I'll hold the item or something like that? So we definitely do see those.
That's a digital payment, like PayPal, Venmo, something like that?
Yes, PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, something along those lines. And again, it's just really important to know there could be very legitimate people that ask for payment in that way. But if it's somebody that you don't know, that you don't trust, and they're asking you for a digital form of payment, use extreme caution because those are very difficult to get back for our members.
Oh my gosh. So much to unpack here. Carol, did you have any? Oh, go ahead, Tracy.
Oh, I was just going to mention one more that is very, very common and we see a lot of, and that's the tech support scam. This one can be initiated in several ways. It can be initiated from a text or an email. But usually it has to do with a Microsoft charge or potential virus on your computer. And it can be a pop-up that shows up on your computer and it says your computer has been infected and you need to, you know, click this link or call this number. And they initiate it in several ways. But the end result of the scam is the same. They end up having you download an app to allow a screen share. And they gain access to your computer via that technology. And anyone who works remote, like all of us are doing today, know that that is valid technology that we use daily in our work where we can screen share and we can see each other's screens. And so, it seems kind of valid if a technology company or a software company is asking to screen share with you. That might seem very valid. And so you may do that. And that can happen legitimately, and that's the thing. They try to mirror these things in typical things that would be, you know, normal in our world. And unfortunately, what they do is they end up having you, you know, throughout the course of the conversation, log into your online banking. They're capturing your login credentials when you do so. They have you get in there. They spoof our website. And they transfer funds around, so they get to see how much money you have, and they make it look like they've deposited or over-deposited funds into your account. And then they ask you to either wire those funds back to them or send them back in some other digital format. In most of those cases, those funds cannot be recovered. And so I've seen upwards of, I think my biggest one was $90,000 that members have transferred in these scams. And so it can be very costly. It can empty your bank account. Be very cautious anytime someone is asking you to log into online banking, give out your online banking credentials, You know, these tech support ones, they're usually, you can look at the emails. If it comes via email, it'll say you're going to be charged. And of course, our instant reaction is, I don't want to be charged $400 and some, so I'm going to call, right? I've gotten them myself. I don't open emails if I don't know who they're coming from. I don't answer my phone if I don't know who it is. I don't respond to text messages. I got a fraud text this morning, as a matter of fact. It was a USPS package, and I needed to copy and paste the link into my Safari browser so that I could verify my address. I wasn't expecting a package. So being very cautious anytime anyone is asking for those credentials.
Oh, my goodness. They are so creative. Unreal. Carol, did you have a question?
Yeah, I feel like, who do you trust? It's just so scary when you think how many things can happen, and most of us are operating by online now just because of the COVID and stuff, and I don't know how, we need some, I don't know what we need. We need some kind of citizen representatives who can, because I've gotten those, just what you're talking about. I was asked to verify a package today and I'm like, I didn't order anything, so I won't. But I mean, again, I'm totally disappointed about all those soldiers that really love me and liked everything I said on Facebook. It's just sad. But thank you so much. I'm so enlightening, but then again, it's been terrifying. And I don't know, can you drink before noon in Scappoose? I think you can.
Well, okay, so I have a question about debit cards. We, unfortunately, a few years ago, had our card phished like 3 times. One was in an Atlanta airport. Another was at a parking. This was before Parking Kitty. I swiped my card into parking, and then I didn't even know how the third one happened. So, unfortunately, you know, so I saw, I'm pretty good about getting on. I caught it first because I'm like, well, I was not at Walmart in Mississippi. I can pretty much prove that. But what? How do you know? Like, how do you know somebody hasn't put some sort of skimmer on there? How do you know when it's safe to use your debit card? Because credit card, you can get your money back. But debit card, as I know, it was a long process. It was more than 4 or 5 weeks before we got our money back. And I caught them right away, and they still managed to do serious damage. So what do you do?
Yeah, so typically, you know, debit card protection is coming up the chain to be very similar to credit card, which is great, as long as, you know, it can vary by holder, but we use Visa and they're very similar. The one thing that we always recommend is pull on the reader. Like, even at ATMs, like, all you get, like, typically they're magnet and they're just put right on top of the actual reader. So pull on that a little bit. Like, if you're using an ATM or using one of those parking devices, typically there's something right over the top of it that you could literally pull off. Don't beat up the machine, but just try a little and hopefully you'll save yourself. But the other thing just to be aware of is, you know, a lot of people have special technology where they could literally walk by you and try to pull the information off of your card. And so it necessarily doesn't need to be a device that's capturing that information. There's technologies out there, and there's special wallets that can help with that. You know, there's all sorts of things out there that you can really look into, but hence why chip technology is coming up. So.
Right, so RFID, so that they can see through it, right?
Yeah, and that's just, like, invented to be a little bit of a blocker. Like, the first actual RFID was people wrapping their wallet in tinfoil. I can't make this up, but it was. And so now technology's kind of, like, come up with the times, right? And there's all sorts of wallets out there. There's purses. There's all sorts of stuff that you can use. But that was very common as well. Like, people could just walk by you and, like, pull your data, and then all of a sudden you're getting fraud and you don't even know how it happened. It could have definitely been something like that, or a merchant that you purchased had an exposure. We've all seen some of the large companies that process a lot of payments have exposures over the years. That's in the news and public a lot. So just doing the best to protect yourself is the only thing that you can do.
Oh my goodness. I was just like, it is a lot to unpack here. So going forward, how does En-ROADS keep members safe? Are there, it sounds like you go to a lot of trainings, that there's conventions, or what? Tracy, help me out there. What do you do on a daily basis?
Absolutely. I monitor accounts. We have several departments that are watching our members' accounts. Training, 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 training. My staff is always attending a training. I mean, we're attending, and this is no joke, at minimum a training a week, if not more, just to stay on top of, you know, the latest scams. Like I said, I belong to several organizations in the metropolitan area that are credit unions, banks, law enforcement, trying to all work together because, you know, the saying is it takes a village. Well, in the financial industry, it really does. And the nice thing is that we do all work together. And you see a lot of collaboration. And we are constantly, you know, watching our members' accounts and looking at, technology. And we've got, software, that watches those transactions. And, you know, technology is continuing to advance. And Kim working, you know, on the digital side of things and that member experience, she's amazing as far as always trying to find that latest, technology that we can use. So it is a daily effort. And sometimes, we don't sleep. but we're always watching.
Okay, thank you. And what can a member do? I do get on my online and I check my account regularly.
Yeah.
One of the things that you would recommend?
Absolutely. I know there is a fear around digital banking, but having that at your fingertips so you can log in on a daily basis and see what's going on, not relying on your statement that could be, you know, 30 days ago, so really logging in and monitoring your accounts daily. Utilize your institution's technology. Like, we have our In Control app that you can download where you can lock your card, you can unlock your card, you can say, I only want, you know, debit card transactions in the state of Oregon to be approved. You really can control your cards to try to really lock down how you would like to be protected. The last thing that I really think is important to add is, as your financial institution, we are your partner. So if there is something that is not sitting right with you, you need advice on, or you've become a victim of something, it is critical that you contact us. This is a complete judgment-free zone. We welcome to come in and help you. We are here for you through the good times and the bad times. So please let us know if you've experienced something so we can help you, guide you, and then hopefully use that information to protect more members.
Okay, great. That is great advice. One more minute left in the show. Carol, did you have a last question or thought about your friends in the military? No. She's shaking her head no.
And well, I would just, you know, going back to, I said it before, but trust but verify and never assume that someone is who they claim to be. Because you can be anyone you want to be online.
Of course. And when you do get an email, I always hover over the sender because it could say it's from Carol Sweet, but if I click on it, then it, you know, clearly has a completely different name. So that's how, one way you know the email is fraud, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't come from Best Buy or any of the other things, or USPS is never going to verify a package. I mean, you know, but people don't, you know, think about it, especially if you're busy or you're in a hurry. So once again, I just want to thank you all. This has been very informative, and you're welcome to come back anytime. And that is it for Carol and I. Next week, we are going to be chatting with a couple mayors about homeless camps and what's happening in various cities in Columbia County, so you're not going to want to miss that show. So that's it for us. Make it a great week. This has been Setting the Record Straight.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
You've been listening to Setting the Record Straight with Melinda Bernard on KOHI. Listen again next Friday here on AM 1600. You can email the show, kohi.radio@gmail.com, or email Melinda, strsradio@gmail.com.